gag. I tamed my kitten and I did it with a tomcat bead. You got a purr kitty, purr kitty, purr kitty, purr sweet. You got a purr kitty, purr kitty, purr kitty, purr sweet. Come along with me, kitten, and learn the tomcat beat.
This is 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
The views and opinions of this program are those of its host and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of 90.1 FM, KKFI, Midcoast Radio Project, or its staff and volunteers.
About it is appealing, everything the traffic will allow. Nowhere could you get that happy feeling when you are stealing that extra bow. There's no people like show people. They smile when they are alone. Yesterday they told you you would not go far. That night you opened and there you are. Next day on your dressing room they the scenery, the makeup, the props, the audience that lifts you when you're down, the headaches, the heartaches, the backaches, the flops, the sheriff who escorts you out of town, the opening when your heart beats like a drum, the closing when the customers don't come. Business like no business I know. You get word before the show has started that your favorite uncle died at dawn. On top of that, your grandma has parted. You're brokenhearted, but you go on. There's no people like show people. They smile when they are low. Even with a turkey that you know
indeed. Hello and welcome to this edition of the KKFI Arts Magazine Show. I am Michael Hoag, your host. Glad to have you with us on, boy, it's a nice Monday out there. It really is, as you listen to the Arts Magazine Show right here on KKFI, 90.1 FM, your community radio station, right here in Kansas City. Some interesting things to pass your way. I know I always say that, but my interest is easily piqued. You hear the laughter there of Damron Russell Armstrong. He is the executive artistic director of the Black Repertory Theater of Kansas City, and he is here to talk about their latest presentation. They're in the middle of the run of Blood Knot by Arthel Fugard, if I'm pronouncing that
Athel
right.
Athel Fugard.
See, I do. Good thing you're here to correct me. Damron has, he started out here in this area. He went to Ruskin, am I remembering
yes,
that?
Yes, yeah.
But then
graduated from Ruskin High School out south and on to New York from there.
Yes, I was going to say that. You went to New York City where you probably learned a lot more than a lot of people would have about theater.
Yeah. School was an interesting road of taking in much-needed knowledge to become a professional actor.
I bet. Yeah, you go to a lot of auditions. You read a lot of parts. Probably only get a small percentage of those things.
Yes. At the height of my educational and auditioning career in New York City, they were on par back then. Probably like 1,200 to 1,400 women auditioning for roles, and 600 to 800 men,
wow,
all for any particular audition.
And they have to decide then a cast,
right?
From all of that, that has to be difficult.
Yeah, yeah. And I recognize that even more these days now that I'm sitting on the other side of the table as an arts administrator.
Well, you probably don't get that many auditions, probably, but you probably get more than you would have expected with your theater.
Which is always great. It gives you an opportunity to make some choices when you have a plethora of folks who come and audition. And I love it because for my theater company, we are building a bridge for those in Kansas City who may not have had the opportunity to have training or to find their way to the stage. So I look at our theater company more as a MFA training program where you get to take young talent and mold it and then present it in a show.
Sure, sure. Well, Dameron didn't just stay in New York. He went to a lot of places as well. Just to briefly summarize, New York, Arizona, Palace, Florida. You played the Palace.
Played the Palace. The show Palace in Florida.
And from
the Palace in New Hampshire as well.
I've heard those jokes before about the Palace. So they want to play the Palace. So they end up going to New Hampshire.
Yes.
Lots of places as well. Arizona, the infamous Paper Mill Playhouse. That's a very well-known theater. Do you remember the show that you did
there? Children of Eden, which is a Stephen Schwartz play. Which was a lot of fun. It was the first off-Broadway gig I had. What a wonderful show. It's been done all over the country now. And what an amazing experience it was to work with Stephen Schwartz. And folks will know Stephen Schwartz's name from Pippin and more recently Wicked. Right now they're in London. His son is directing Prince of Egypt that's coming to the stage. So lots of exciting things happening on that side of the world.
It's a famous place. You were lucky to work there, I know. They tell me that, Eve Arden has passed away, but Kay Ballard and I guess Rose Marie were often featured there at the Paper Mill Playhouse.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. There's great history there of legendary actors. So I was certainly privileged to work there.
And I have to ask about this one more. The Pisa Festival in Guatemala.
País. The País Festival is a festival that happens in Guatemala every 2 years. I was chosen to direct the American show that was a part of it because it's an international festival. So there were Argentine dancers. There was a pianists who came in from London. So just folks from all, artists from all over the world. And so what I did was put together a Red Hat and Jazz show, which was a compilation of music from Ain't Misbehavin' and Blues in the Night and Five Guys Named Mo, and structured a show around that music and brought it to the people of Guatemala.
Sure. And you're doing some of the same things here in town. What led to you starting the Black Repertory Theater of Kansas City?
An understanding of our differences and how important it is to understand the contributions that everybody makes to a community. So often, when you talk about the contributions that are made by African Americans, you don't really see that written in your history books. A great example of that is Hidden Figures, the movie, where it featured three African-American women who were working as a part of the space program who came up with the engineering that got us into space. We know Neil Armstrong's name, we know John Glenn's name, but there's not even a blip about these women who, without their input, we would not have gotten into space.
Sure.
So I think when we understand the contribution of each other, we understand the worth of one another. So these stories help educate not only African Americans about their own history and experiences, but everybody else gets an understanding of how, when we work together, how we move forward, how differences is not a bad thing. I think it's important. The best buffets that you can have a little bit of everything on them.
Oh, well, yeah.
So why not theater? Theater should always hold a mirror up to the community in which it serves, and then go a little bit further than that so that you understand where you fit in the world.
It's always difficult starting something.
Oh, most definitely.
And you probably have many stories you could tell. But let's just suffice to say that I guess getting organized, especially getting funding, is probably really important.
Oh, yeah. Funding is the top of the list, because without that, you can't do proper marketing. So who knows about you? If a tree falls in the wood, who hears it? So
well,
if I produce a show and we can't get the word out about it, it can be the best show in the world, but who's going to come and see it?
Well, you had a number of fine musicals that you did. Starting out. You're in his fourth year now.
Yes.
So
the company is 5 years old. We've just started the fourth season. We opened with the musical Blues in the Night, a beautiful show that highlights and puts a spotlight on Duke Ellington's music, Johnny Mercer, Bessie Smith, Harold Arlen. So it was an evening of amazing music. And there again, we found a number of performers, some with some experience and then some with no experience on stage, and turned out a really great product that we performed at the Gym Theater. So that was very exciting. Now we're working Blood Knot by Atho Fugard, which is in the author's own words, is a parable of two brothers, one white-skinned, one black-skinned, both born of the same black mother. The play itself is set in South Africa against the backdrop of apartheid. So the story really blossoms and takes a look at how these brothers interact with the polarization of the fear and anguish that comes from racial issues. And so you get to see that brotherly relationship unfold, all with on the basis of the times of apartheid and what that meant to be a white black and what it meant to be a dark-skinned black.
Yeah, you know, that kind of goes along with the show that Actors Theater did not too long ago.
Yes.
It's in pretty well.
Yes, yes. KCAT, Kansas City Actors Theater, did a production of another Atho Fugard play, Master Harold and the Boys, which I believe on Broadway was Danny Glover and Matthew Broderick were the leads in that. And when we found out we were both doing an Atho Fugard, we did ad exchanges, and so there was a really great turnout for their show. So we hope that audience will come and find us at the Plex Pod at 300 East 39th Street, with the only entrance to the building, the only entrance to Plex Pod, is on the Gillum Road side at 39th Street. So 39th and Gillum, and there's parking on Gillum.
Okay, you would prefer that they parked on the street on Gillum and entered through that way.
Yes.
Because
it's a whole lot less steps.
So, well, I guess then the parking area where they would normally park is probably going to be locked then?
No, it won't be locked. You just have a trek to then get over to Gillum, because it's the only door that we have access to that can be constantly monitored and unlocked.
Okay, so you'll go in past where City in Motion's
yes,
studio is.
Exactly.
And then you're very near to there.
And right across the hall.
You have, I have it here. One, two. You have four performances left.
Yes.
What has been the reaction to the first week of shows?
People are really enjoying it. We lost an actor days before we opened, so we are doing it as a staged reading. So I want to make sure people understand that, that there are stands and scripts on stage. The actor dropped out of the show, so I have dropped into the show because we had gone through an extensive 2-week rehearsal process at the time before the actor dropped the show. Working with Scott Stackhouse at UMKC, who is a language dialogue dialect coach there, because it's set in South Africa, this is Zulu that is sometimes spoken in the show, and so that dialect, that accent, really, really needed a lot of study. So I searched high and low for 24 hours after the actor dropped from the show to find someone to step in. But in the end, it had to be me because I was the closest, the closest one. And of course, I had previously done The Island at KCAT, which is another Atho Fugard play. And so I'm familiar with the accent.
The other performer in the show is Brian Paulette.
Yes, who many Kansas City theater goers will know.
Actors Theater.
Yes.
Again.
Like Unicorn Theater. Unicorn. He's been everywhere. Shakespeare, yeah. You name it.
His wife, I always bring this up. I probably should. His wife was in an Academy Award nominated movie. So can't get any better than that.
What film was that? I forget.
Was it Winter's Bone?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So yeah. So good. Good person to bounce off of each other.
Oh, yeah.
Is that incredible actor. Even if it's a reading.
Yes.
You do a lot of interacting with each other, I assume.
Yes, yes. And because it kind of came together all last minute, we still have sound design and light design because all of that was already in place before we lost the actor.
Yeah. So. And it all sets the mood for the show.
Yes.
Is it a gritty script?
Pretty much so, because if you think about brothers' relationships, it can, as loving as it can be, it's also abrasive and challenging. You challenge your older brother or your younger brother, and so you'll get a lot of that in the play as well. Because it's set during apartheid, This is well before you had your cell phones and your Netflix. So the way they pass the time is by playing games with each other. Wow. And they're mind games. So you get caught up in the game and see how far they take it in their abuse, their mental abuse of one another.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would happen with brothers anyway, but in this kind of a situation, probably much worse than that.
Oh, yes, especially when you're dealing with the construct of color makes a difference. Uh-huh. So how does one brother see the world through his white eyes and the other brother see the world around him with black skin?
Yeah. Yeah, it has to be very conflicting. I'm sure your brother loves you on a certain level, but he comes at it from a different perspective simply because of the color of his skin.
Right, right. And then what does that really mean for him? Because he's born of a black mother, he still is considered black. So if he does not disclose that in this time period, it would be against the law.
I see.
Because with his recessive gene, he could marry a white woman and end up with a black child.
So he had a big secret.
Yes. And so the play takes place when he comes back to live with his black brother in a shanty town. And so the question is lingering through the play. Why did he come back? And what happened to him when he did go out into the world and tried to pass? So it's a very interesting show, and Atho Fugard doesn't always answer the questions for you. He proposes these things, and you as an audience member have to take away whatever you personally take away from the show.
Yes. Now, the world is not perfect, and this country is not perfect either, but how lucky we are to live in this time period, and
right.
The way we have opportunities.
Right.
There's not perfection, of course.
No. And that's the reason I choose plays like this, to always keep the conversation going, because the more we talk about it, the more we come closer to eradicating racism, if that is even possible. But if we can just start having the conversations about it, then change can come.
Well, conversation does a world of good.
Oh, yeah.
It really does.
You see that through live theater always, is that it always challenges or educates, but it's an active thing. So,
and we all have our talents. Well, I will go so far as to say everyone is talented in their own way.
Right.
So everyone.
Everybody contributes.
That's right.
Everybody contributes.
And of course, we're speaking with Damron Russell Armstrong. He is the Executive Artistic Director of the Black Repertory Theater of Kansas City. And he is here to talk about their fourth season and their current production of Blood Knot.
Yes.
And we've given you a pretty good lowdown on it. It will be performed at the Plex Pod in Westport. Remember the old Westport Middle School? Well, it was redone by this company and remodeled the building. And there's businesses in there and galleries.
It's more of like a WeWork space.
Yeah.
And so there are businesses and galleries, and there's even a theater in there. So there's much to see in the building. So we hope you'll come by 300 East 39th Street. That's the Gillum entrance at 39th Street is your entrance.
So there's the road Gillum curves as it goes by there. So you'll probably see the cars lined up bumper to bumper. Can they park on both sides of Gillum or just the one on the right?
Just the one, the southbound lane of Gillum.
Now, you can park in the Plexpod parking lot, but it's going to be more difficult for you to find them. They will probably put up signs for you.
Yes.
But,
just know that there's a lot less steps involved if you park on Gillum.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's the four remaining shows are Thursday, Friday, Saturday at 7:30. And then there's an additional performance on Saturday at 3 p.m. Those tickets can be purchased in advance at brtkc.org. That is our website, brtkc.org.
BRTKC.org. What about this phone number? Do we want the phone number given out
just
as well?
Just the website.
Just the website. Okay.
And tickets are available at the box office, which opens an hour before the show. So that would be 6:30 Friday, Saturday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and also 2 p.m. for the 3 p.m. performance on Saturday.
Okay. So if you're not familiar with the building, it's on Gillum, just before you get to 39th Street.
Yes.
39th Street is
eyeball
visual from where you'll need to park.
Yes.
Down there. The Plex Pod is actually on 39th Street.
Mm-hmm.
But go in the Gillum Road entrance. You're in the midst of your fourth season.
Yes.
So what is coming up after this?
Coming up will be How I Learned What I Learned, which is a one-man show written by August Wilson. So he talks about growing up in the Hill District in Pittsburgh and just life observations. Folks will know August's name for The Piano Lesson and Seven Guitars, the most recent film version of Fences starring Denzel Washington. Those are all his plays. So come find out as he picks his brain and lets us in, and how he came up with those shows and just his worldview.
Met him one time at the Rep. As you know, the Rep did almost all of his plays at one time.
Yeah.
Maybe the ones they haven't done are in the schedule. I don't know.
Yeah.
But he was over there, and he was made available towards the press, and well, I'm not the press exactly. I'm media. So I was invited to sat next to him at the table. He wore the same hat and tie that he wore on 60 Minutes 5 days earlier. So that was kind of surreal for some of us.
Yes.
As we spoke to him, and he was dressed the same, you know, pretty much. And he talked about each, I guess it was each decade in Pittsburgh.
Yes.
A different perspective.
Yes.
So you know, he saw a lot, experienced a lot. And,
yeah, his canon of work is quite large and really lifted, elevated theater when he came along with these really rich stories of these amazing characters that were in and out of his life. So I performed in one of them, Jitney. It's a beautiful play. He's a beautiful writer. And that's what I'm here to celebrate. It's all of this work, some that you've heard of, a lot that you have not, because so many of those shows have not been produced in Kansas City.
Uh-huh.
So we are widening the buffet of theater in Kansas City.
A lot of them were of a more serious nature. Jitney had a lot of humor in it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. As serious as it was, because it looked at its core at the relationship of a father and his estranged son, but the guys that worked the Jitneys were quite some characters. So sure. There's lots of laughter.
We're down incredibly. We're down to 4 minutes. What else would you like to say about the remaining season?
The last show of the season will be the musical Pearlie. Now, this is an adaptation of the play Pearlie Victorious, which was written by Ozzie Davis. Ozzie Davis, huge star in the 50s, 60s. He and his wife, Ruby Dee, also, I believe they were founders of the St. Louis Black Rep. Oh. This particular adaptation is a musical version of that play that takes a look at Pearlie, who is a preacher who is trying to save Big Bethel, which is the church. It's full of incredible music. Melba Moore had the lead on Broadway and stopped the show every night with her song, I've Got Love. So we're very excited to scour the city to find the cast for that sure. We'll be auditioning for right after the first of the year.
I'll bet you come up with some good singers.
Oh, yes. We have some amazing, amazing talent in Kansas City that I learn every time I cast a show, every time we audition a show, so many performers out there who have not been on a professional stage before, or a professional theatrical stage before, who are coming out of the woodworks. Kansas City's got some amazing talent.
Sure. And the church, it's a whole other discussion, and I shouldn't open it up now with a minute left, but the church was very important to the Black community.
Oh, yeah.
I imagine definitely. It still is.
Yes. One of the ideas that I have for this particular show is that there is a gospel choir that's on stage at the beginning and the end of the show. So I will be scouring the city, listening to different choirs to get together a citywide choir. Made up of performers from various churches around Kansas City. So watch for that notice.
Yeah.
It's coming your way.
Yeah. All of you singers that would like to be in a professional show.
BRTKC.org for information about auditions. And one last thing is that as we move closer to the end of the year, we are a 501c3. So folks that are doing their year in, making their year-end lists of giving.
Sometimes a few donations make the difference.
And you can, all the difference.
Yeah, if you itemize. I don't know if that's changed. The tax rules change every year.
Right.
But if you itemize, you can especially use that to good use.
Yes.
Thanks so much for being with us. The Black Community Theater, the Kansas City Black Repertory Theater season continues with a Blood Knot. Performances on Thursday the 21st, 7:30, Friday the 22nd, 7:30. Two performances on Saturday in the afternoon at 3, and in the evening again at 7:30 at the Plex Pod Westport, 300 East 39th Street. It's just right off of Gillam Road, where Gillam Road kind of connects into 39th Street. The website you want to go to for more information is brtkc.org for all of that. Thanks for coming, Damron.
Thanks, Michael. I appreciate it.
Well, we've been watching you progress through all of this, and I guess we'll continue to watch that as well as time goes on.
I appreciate it. See you next time.
Okay, sure. Going to talk about some fine gospel music probably the next time. Thanks so much for being here. We're going to take a break, and when we return, we're going to journey out to Blue Springs, where they have a... Well, I'm going to let them explain it. It's their Christmas show. It seems kind of early, but it's not. Mrs. Bob Cratchit's Wild Christmas Binge. A binge indicates certain things. We're going to let them talk about it. When we return, you're listening to the Arts Magazine radio program right here on KKFI. 90.1 FM.
Freeze Frame!
Hi, I'm Russ Simmons with Freeze Frame, KKFI's weekly look at the newest cinematic fare at your local theaters. Angelina Jolie is back in the titular role in the gargantuan sequel, Maleficent Mistress of Evil. Apparently, the filmmakers wanted to make a kiddie version of Game of Thrones, giving us a story that's more about war and palace intrigue than fairy tale fantasy. The tone shifts are jarring, and the visuals, while very impressive, are so frenetic that they weigh the movie down. Parents should be warned that the body count is high, the bad guys are humans, and the story may be a bit too dark for little kids. But Jolie's sly performance is the movie's saving grace. She provides more magic with an arched eyebrow than all those special effects combined. Natalie Portman gives it her all, but the over-directed art house drama Lucy in the Sky is a misfire. The movie is a fictionalized version of the case of former NASA astronaut Lisa Nowak, who was famously tried in 2007 for the attempted kidnapping of a romantic rival. The premise asserts that astronauts have some kind of existential crisis after having flown in space. Lucy in the Sky is flashy, but spacey. The whacked-out midnight movie comedy Greener Grass takes place in a pastel-colored alternate universe suburbia where one woman slowly takes over the life of her best friend. While it generates some twisted laughs, the movie's peculiar, absurdist sense of humor makes it a take-it-or-leave-it proposition. Villains is a comic thriller with Bill Skarsgård and Micah Monroe about a couple of small-town crooks who get more than they bargain for when they break into the home of some hardcore sadists. It's a modestly involving little creeper. Also opening this week, Zombieland Double Tap is a sequel to the hit 2009 horror comedy. Manos is a drama about an American woman held hostage by teenage commandos in Latin America. And Loro is an Italian comic drama about infamous industrialist and politician Silvio Berlusconi. Well, that's it for this edition of Freeze Frame. Until next time, I'm Russ Simmons with Fox 4 and KKFI FM.
Freeze Frame!
Did you know your business or organization could be sponsoring this episode of Arts Magazine? Learn more at kkfi.org/marketing.
And welcome back to the Arts Magazine show right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station right here in Kansas City. I'm Michael Hogue, your host. A little change of... tenure here. We were talking about the serious play from South Africa, Blood Knot. Now we're just going to get silly, I guess, for a while. The director of the Blue Springs City Theater production of Mrs. Bob Cratchit's Wild Christmas Binge. It makes it sound like she's gone completely crazy. The director of the show, Caitlin Tormina, is with us. Is this the way? And pull the mic closer to your mouth, okay? Because we want to be able to hear you really well. Is it just a wild romp?
It is. So it's a really unique twist on the classic story. So it's kind of important to remind people that it's not going to be the Christmas Carol that they're kind of expecting.
Ah.
So you get a whole new take on the Cratchit character, and it just kind of descends into utter chaos. And there's all it really does. And there's all kinds of really fun moments that allude to other popular Christmas movies and things like that. So it's not a version of the story that I think has ever been done before, and I don't think there'll be one like it, honestly.
What did Christopher Durang had in mind when he penned this masterpiece?
I don't know. I think he just wanted to make a version of the story that would be fun, that would add more humor. Because A Christmas Carol is a pretty heavy story when you start to really think about it. And so I think he's just trying to make it more lighthearted, you know, make people laugh and get people in the spirit for the holidays.
Yeah, well, the theme of the Christmas Carol is people can't change.
Yeah, exactly.
They can change for the better. That's one of the themes of the show. I guess this one is not like that at all.
I mean, changing timelines.
Okay. Well, there's quite a few of you here, so I guess we should get to it now. Who is the redheaded lady sitting to your left?
This is Jer. She plays Mrs. Bob Cratchit.
What's Jer's last name?
It's Jerry Lynn, J-E-R-I-L-Y-N McDermott.
Again, please.
J-E-R-I-L-Y-N McDermott. M-C. D-E-R-M-E-D.
Okay, and you play the role of, I'm going to guess, Mrs. Cratchit.
Mrs. Bob Cratchit. I don't know how you guessed.
Now, what is this rumor I keep hearing that Mrs. Cratchit develops a thing for Scrooge?
It's a spoiler. I can't tell you. I mean, but if you take somebody and you give them 20 kids and you can't feed them and all of a sudden some guy comes along with money, I mean...
That's just one side of the story.
Yeah, no,
you all stop bringing children home.
You all need to pull the mics closer to your mouth.
Okay.
So get up here, and there's quite a few of you here. We have Jim DeFries sitting then to her left.
Yes.
And you play the role of Mr. Scrooge?
Yes, Ebenezer Scrooge, bah humbug.
Have you transformed yet in this story?
In the story? No.
So it's not really a sequel with a strange bit to it.
That's not a sequel, no. Okay. It's a whole new path to take.
So you're still the hard-nosed boss.
Yeah.
That employs her husband.
Nothing changes in that aspect. It's still Ebenezer Scrooge.
Okay. All right. Now, the young lady right in between the director and chair.
I am Brandis Outlaw, and I play the ghost of Christmas past, present, and yet to come.
Okay, yeah, you still go on that journey with Scrooge, or is it Scrooge and Mrs. Cratchit?
It's me and Scrooge all the way.
You and Scrooge all the way. What does he have to learn from you?
He's supposed to learn a whole lot, but apparently... he just goes off and learns his own things, and that screws up with my plans. So.
I see.
Yeah.
Have you been in any Blue Springs or other theater productions before?
I have been in other theater productions around Kansas City. This is actually my first one with Blue Springs, so it's an honor.
Where have they seen you before?
So actually down the street, I was at the Warwick with Met. In the Cherry Orchard by Chekhov. So that was really good. I played Charlotta. I was a gun-toting governess. And I've also was a part of the Kansas City Fringe Festival down the street again at the Unicorn. So that was last year. So that was
I should have asked Jer the same question. Where have you been seen before?
I've done all Blue Springs City Theater plays. I did some stuff back in high school and when I was younger, but this is the only... theater I've been with for a while.
You're still younger.
Oh, no.
Compared to some of us.
Well, maybe.
And the young lady whose name I don't know here.
I'm Emma Freeman.
Okay. Where have we seen you before, Emma?
I've been in about 5 other Blue Spring City Theater productions.
Now, She's been with them for 5 years, actually.
Who do you play in this show?
I'm child one.
Child of okay.
And child two.
Okay. Child two.
So you both have
them. We're going to name her.
The Cratchits don't name all of their children. They just call them child one and child two.
So they have more than the ones that we've already met.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
When did these kids come along?
Well, it's a funny story.
It's all him.
Yeah, that's...
Okay. And what is your name, sir? I can't see you.
Oh, Josh Jackson.
Josh Jackson. Okay. Tell us about yourself. What role you play?
I play Bob Cratchit.
Oh, yeah.
Just a gigantic heart that some people don't understand. I'm looking at my wife.
Is it difficult having this particular wife?
I like to see that. I like to think that I can see the good in everything.
Okay, so, yeah. But you really are an idealist. much more so than the usual productions that we see.
No, absolutely, for sure. It. I mean, he constantly talks about how he has a big heart, but he constantly talks about how he has a big heart, and that he's, you know, an amazing guy and all this. And what started off with probably, you know, two or three kids ends up being a lot more.
Yeah,
so,
a lot more.
Sure. Oh, yeah,
obviously a lot more. Where have we seen you before?
This summer, I've been at Bell Road Barn, which is out in Parkville.
Which one did you do up there?
It was A Murder Is Announced. It was actually directed by Caitlin, who did, you know, fantastic job. I did, and then there were None, which is another Agatha Christie show, and that was out at slightly off Broadway and Excelsior. And then we just finished up with Dial In for Murder, which is out at River City Community Players, and that's in Leavenworth, Kansas.
Yeah, that's what is his name again? I've interviewed him. The gentleman who runs
Ron?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, Ron's incredible. Yeah, yeah. Great guy. So.
Oh, good. Good. So that's everyone now.
Yeah.
Okay. Biggest challenge for the director in this, just keeping everyone on point?
I think the biggest challenge for this particular production is finding the humor, because it's so funny, but there's also these moments that can be kind of tender if you really want them to be. So I think it's kind of finding that balance, like finding that balance between the comedy and making it to where people actually still kind of come away with the point of the show and kind of feeling like just the happiness of the holidays and kind of wanting to leave being better people than what they came in, hopefully.
Maybe being richer people.
Richer people.
There you go.
Now, how does this relationship develop? I don't want you to give anything away, of course, but as much as you can, how does this relationship develop between Mrs. Cratchit? Because in the original script by Dickens, she doesn't care that much for him.
No, and I think it's the fact that maybe she's very overwhelmed with her husband, who's got the great big heart, who talks about his great big heart all the time, and it makes her a little crazy. And maybe she starts hallucinating, maybe she doesn't, who knows what's going on. But in the end, we find out that Mr. Scrooge likes to watch quite a bit. He's very voyeuristic, and she kind of she kind of falls into tune with that and tries to escape her nameless children.
Mr. Scrooge enjoys the meanness and the corruption.
Well, he always did.
I can vouch for that. Yeah.
No matter who it is. He's always there to enjoy the play out of what's going on and cannot give up on that. That's his favorite.
So you went from an Agatha Christie script to this. Did this have a special appeal? You must have had some idea of what you wanted to do with it.
Well, I liked that it's based on a classic. I like doing classics. And I liked that it was a take on it that a lot of people probably haven't seen, and it's a really unique version of the story. So I think that's kind of what drew me to it.
Okay. Yeah. What about Brandis?
Yes.
Yes. What about, and get close to the microphone.
Yeah.
What about your part of this? You have an important part. You have to walk this gentleman through redemption.
Yeah. It's quite a journey.
And I'm not easy.
Especially being all three ghosts. Usually you would see, like in Christmas Carol, it's going to be like three separate people, but I get to be all of them, and I get to just hopefully redeem this man, and maybe he'll learn a lesson. Doesn't seem so if he's got Mrs. Bob Cratchit, and down the line, like, she interferes with my work as well. So, I mean,
you should walk both of them through redemption.
I might have a little bit of help to help me do that, but people will just have to come find out if they actually do get redemed or not.
Sure. Well, you always wonder.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, shows being what they are, you kind of assume they will, but I guess we shouldn't assume.
No.
Yeah, you know what happens when we assume. Yes, of course. What about Emma? Tell me about being an unnamed child.
Well, our parents aren't really able to afford food for us, so we're very hungry.
We all are.
And about, don't you ask me for a name at some point? And
oh, yeah, I ask her for a name, and she refuses to give me a name.
Really?
Yeah.
They have names in the original story. Was there a point behind him not naming them in this show?
I offered to give her a name, but...
You didn't offer to give that one a name. Well, it was a different one.
I think it was just a throwaway, like, hey, we can... Oh, okay.
Well, when you have that many, it's hard to hear.
Exactly. Yeah. See, he understands.
It's easier to keep count when they're just numbers.
Yeah.
Names throw everyone off.
Well, how do you feel about Scrooge when he gets maybe too involved with your family?
Oh, is that to me?
Yeah. I know, we can't see each other very well. You're kind of behind.
My boss is great. He's a great guy. He's an upstanding individual. So, I think the first time that you see us together, it's pretty clear who has the power and who doesn't.
Oh, you know, I see. So. Do you do this in full costume and all of that?
Yes, yeah. So there'll be full costumes. We'll have sets. Now, the set changes are really super fast, and there's quite a few of them. So it's going to be set pieces that are hopefully on wheels that we can kind of roll off and roll on as needed to keep the momentum and the pace of the show coming along.
Okay.
It'll be really fun, though. It's going to be fast-paced. I mean, the audience should really enjoy it, for sure.
This all-out comedy all the time.
Pretty much. Everyone kind of gets their own version of their happy ending at the end. Their own individual character-driven version of their happy ending.
that's very difficult to do, because that's so unlike real life.
Very much so. Yes.
Well, was it easier to do Agatha Christie, where we had planned demises, or do this one?
That's a good question. They both have had their challenges. I think the hardest part of Agatha Christie was actually staging the murder and getting that to go off and stage that correctly in a way that made it believable. And so I think, in a way, this one, there's no food that I'm going to actually eat, so that's also nice. And I get the Christie, we had to have a chocolate cake every night, so that got kind of fun. And then there's no murder in this one, so that's good. So there's no staging of any murders or anything, so I think...
Yet,
right? We'll see how that ends up by the end of the process. But I think that they both have the unique challenges, but I think in terms of which one would probably be easier staging-wise, it would probably be this one, just because... Everyone's just having fun with it. They have more freedom to, I think, kind of be freer in their movement.
Okay. Now, as you walk Scrooge, Brandis, as you walk Scrooge through, you go to the past first, then the present, then the future. Yeah, who does he visit in the past?
He's an incompetent.
Well, funny story.
Well, I hope so.
I mean, kind of. Well, she wants to take him to the past.
Oh.
But... she ends up somehow still in the present.
I see.
So they're supposed to go see the Fezziwigs, but they're actually at the Cratchit's house. So
you see, now I actually like Fezziwigs.
Yeah. Well, like, she's like, we're supposed to be here, but then she runs into Mrs. Bob Cratchit. But and somehow Mrs. Bob Cratchit can see her and Scrooge, and she's not supposed to. And so it's all due to this device that the ghost has that just keeps messing up everything.
Is it kind of like a smartphone?
It's kind of like a taser.
A taser.
Yeah, to keep Scrooge in line.
Oh, well, he needs to be.
Yeah. And it gets into different time periods where it's like we go to the 70s and come back or whatever. So a lot of it, as we don't necessarily go in order, because the ghost keeps messing it up. But, I mean, everything happens, so to speak, all good.
You have help messing it up.
She has a very difficult time at the end trying to come up with a moral for the story.
I see. Sounds like that might be the case. Anyone want to add to it? What about Mrs. Cratchit? Do you have anything to say about this?
Oh, my heavens. I don't even know. I think some people would call her belligerent. I say that she's frustrated, and she needs an appropriate outlet in which to take out her frustration. Because obviously with the kids and and all of that. But I think that the fun part about the show is that you still kind of travel through the different scenes that you see in A Christmas Carol. You still see the Fezziwigs, who is actually played by her dad and my other half. And we see the Beetle, except in a very different way than what you're used to. So there's some really entertaining pieces that really do pull from the Christmas Carol, and then there are some parts that are just pulled, like, you don't even understand how they made their way into the show, but it makes it fun, and it does keep it light. It's still a very, like, PG-13 type of show, just because of the themes, because Mrs. Cratchit, understandably having 13 kids, likes to drink a little bit, 13. Thus the binge part of it. 13, 21, 47, I can't remember. but, you know, she likes to imbibe every once in a while, being that she has so many children she can't feed. And when you've got 20 children that are starving all the time, you can imagine how much they won't shut up about it.
You sound like the woman who lives in a shoe.
Oh, my gosh, that's totally what it is. Robert, stop bringing home children. Yeah.
Is it because of his good nature? Or?
If you don't believe me, just ask me.
Speaking with, the cast of the Blue Springs Theater production of Mrs. Cratchit's Wild Christmas Binge, that infers too much to drink. Does
too
that
much?
Happen?
Not enough to drink. Not when you have 21 children.
21? Now it's up to 21.
It's
it was 13.
Something like that. Wow. I'll keep this one. The rest of them can go.
You didn't want to stop with the three that you had?
I fortunately didn't have to carry all of those children. He just finds them on the street somewhere.
I see. Is Tiny Tim in this one at all?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Not so tiny Tim. That's something you'll have to come to the show to see.
Okay. We take artistic license, I guess, then, with the characters.
Yes.
Yeah. There's some references to that, cross-references that... Some people will get names that...
It's called Mrs. Bob Cratchit's Wild Christmas Binge. It opens on Friday, December 6th at 7:30. Performances then continue on Saturday the 7th at 7:30. A matinee on Sunday the 8th at 2. Then performances continue on Saturday, December 14th. I wrote down 2, but it's probably 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
2 o'clock and a 7:30. It's a two-show day.
Okay. That's on the 14th. Okay.
Yep.
The 14th, 2 shows, 2 in the afternoon and 7:30 in the evening, then closes on Sunday the 15th with an afternoon matinee at 2 o'clock p.m. at the Blue Springs Theater, which is located at Blue Springs High School, 2000 Northwest Ashton Drive. It's on the northwest corner of what is Blue Springs High School. The number to call, this 29 number, okay to give out? It's not your personal.
No, it's not my personal. I double-check. The number's okay to give out.
816-295-7331 or online at bluespringscitytheater.com. Blue Springs has a lot of volunteer opportunities. Are you all set for this particular show?
We're more than happy to take more volunteers for this show. We always need ushers, people to come do that. And if you do usher, you get to see the show for free. So that's always kind of a nice incentive. Yeah. So if you want to get involved, feel free to reach out. We'll always be happy to have volunteers.
Well, after this show is over with, what do they have coming up in the new year? 2020.
I think their next production, I hope I'm not wrong, but I believe it's Stuart Little.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, you're specializing in more children's-oriented shows?
Actually, this is the first children's show involving children that I've done. Uh-huh. Next, I'm doing The Grapes of Wrath with the City Theater of Independence. So that's going to be, again, a total 360.
Are you directing that? Or
I am, yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah. What kind of approach do you take to such a... Oh, you feel so sorry for those people.
Right. It's definitely a heavy show. I think it's going to be kind of a mix of trying to... find those moments that can be a little bit more lighthearted and try to ease up the intensity of that show just a little bit in certain parts so that it's not so heavy the entire time. So I think that's going to be the challenge
of
that.
So you've gone from an Agatha Christie mystery to this show, which is more fun-loving, to the very dramatic and, you're talking about, you know, the lack of rain in Oklahoma and how that affects those people, and they have to head west from there, and all the sadness that goes into that. But head towards new lives, which is why a lot of the people hit hit the trails, as they say, back in the 1800s, to head west for a better life.
Yes, there's definitely a strong message of hope, and that's an aspect of the show that I really, really enjoy.
Yeah.
Is that you're rooting for this family the entire time. You want to see them succeed.
Yeah, so this particular show here, the Mrs. Cratchit show, that's a departure from you, really.
It is. It's a little different. I typically try to go more towards the dramas, but I've really enjoyed working on this, and I really like doing comedy, so I look forward to hopefully being able to do another one in the future.
Well, so, if you keep the pattern, then after Grace, you'll have to do a comedy.
Just alternate every other show. Okay. Comedy, drama, comedy, drama. Yeah.
Actors have been known to say, you know, drama is easy, comedy is hard.
Comedy, I think, in my own personal opinion, is harder because there's so much comedic timing and things that you that go into comedy that I don't think people often realize.
A lot of, is there special effects in this show? I mean, The Christmas Carol is known for its special effects.
There will be quite a few light and sound effects that I'm hoping that we can get added in to kind of throughout the scene changes and things like that. So there's going to be some fun surprises.
Yeah, what's the most ironic thing about Scrooge in the show? There's some ironic moments for that character.
Well, he does not exactly think the ghost is as confident as a ghost should be. And he's given incentive to think better of that.
What's he know about ghosts?
Well, he considers Marley just a piece of undigested mutton. Or perhaps some,
his word,
still fermenting rice-a-roni.
That's true.
So he doesn't think much of the ghost.
Are you going on to do some other shows after this? Yeah.
You're
retired now.
Yeah, I'm retired now. I did Wonka last year. Uh-huh. And I've done about 10 shows with Raytown or Blue Springs and City Theaters.
Well, we only have a few minutes. Josh, anything coming up for you?
I think we end on the 15th, and then on the 16th, I go to Pyre Productions and start working on Streetcar. So
okay.
It'll be fun.
All right. Well, that's also very serious.
Oh, yeah. So that's, and it's kind of with a newer company, so I'm just very excited to, you know, kind of join them and, you know.
Good. Good experience. So, Brandis?
After this, I will be doing a stage reading of Stuff Buffalo Productions at the Buffalo Room. We're going to be doing, I think it's National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. So I'm excited about that. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Well, certainly you're into the holiday spirit.
Yeah. If you need somebody to read, I love you.
Jer?
I don't know. I might be trying out for Grapes of Wrath. I tend to get typecasted into the mean-spirited lady crazy roles, so drama would be fun for a change because I usually tend up being pretty rambunctious throughout the entire show. But if that doesn't pan out, I'm going to audition. We're having The Drowsy Chaperone over the summer at Blue Spring City Theater. So
that's a fun show to do. What about Emma?
I plan to audition for the next Blue Spring City Theater production.
Wait, which one is that?
Stuart Little.
Stuart Little. All right. All very busy. And the shows begin on Friday, December the 6th, so you have another week or two to make your plans. Performances then continue on Saturday the 7th, Sunday the 8th. The afternoon shows are at 2. The evening shows are at 7:30. Two shows on Saturday the 14th, 2 in the afternoon, and 7:30 at night. Then it closes out on Sunday the 15th with a matinee at 2 o'clock p.m. at the Blue Springs City Theater's place at Blue Springs High School. It's on the northwest corner, 2000 Northwest Ashton Drive. The number to call for more information is 816-295-7331. BlueSpringsCityTheater.com. I want to thank all of you for being with us. Caitlin Tomina, the director, Jim DeFries as Scrooge, Jer McDermott as Mrs. Cratchit, Brandis Outlaw, Emma Freeman, John and Josh Jackson, all in the Blue Springs City Theater production of Mrs. Bob Cratchit's Wild Christmas Binge, opening on December 6th at the Blue Springs High School. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Making the journey over.
Thank you. see us. Go Chiefs.
Yep. Yeah, the Jazz Insider is coming up next. He has some great jazz for you to play. We'll have jazz from 1 to 3. We'll have the blues from 3 to 6 right here on your community radio station, 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City's community radio. So until next we meet, ladies and gentlemen, at that crossing the road, I'm Michael Hogue. We'll see you next time.